All right, so that's what we know about them. How are they doing? This church of Colossae that Paul did not plant, but he writes the letter to, Epaphras planted. How are they doing? What do we know about them? Give it to me in a nutshell. What do we know about them in a nutshell? Are they doing okay? Are they a church that's on the okay, on the right path, or are they a church that's just really going off track? Like, what's going on here? What do you guys think? Are they a church that displays any qualities of being on track? Yes or no?
Yes,
we know that because in chapter 1, right, in the beginning of the letter, Paul says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord, we being he and his key co-workers, probably one including Epaphras here, this dude right here with the, what do you call that type of beard with no mustache?
Goatee?
Nah, it's the full
chin strap.
Chin strap. Okay, so Epaphras, Bible Project says that Epaphras has a chin strap. He goes to tell Paul, who looks all mangy, right, with a full beard guy. He says, we, Paul writes, always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith, okay, in Christ Jesus, and of the love that you have for brothers and sisters, the saints, and because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed the whole world is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you. Okay, so they're bearing fruit since the day they heard and understood the grace of God in truth, right? So this is a group of brothers and sisters, you see life transformation in. You see it. They're bearing fruit. God is changing them. They are bearing fruit. Really cool story. She's not here, so I could talk about it. Last night, what's her name? Savi's mom. Shirley. They brought two family. They brought two friends. Friends who saw Savi and Alva grow up, right? And better for me to say when Savi's not here, but they saw them grow up there. They're probably in their, this one girl's in her 20s. And the reason why Shirley said she was willing to come to church was because she said she's seen such a dramatic change in Savi's life. Okay, that's cool. Now, we can say that because Savi's not here. Actually, I'd probably still say it if Savi's here because I'm not that type of person. I'm not afraid of that building up someone's ego. If taken the right way, that's something we can say praise God for. Okay, they are willing to actually come and examine and look and be exposed to the faith of Shirley and Savi because they see something different in their life. They've seen a dramatic change, is what Shirley said, right? Is what Shirley said they said, right? I think that's pretty cool, right? That's kind of what we're seeing here. This is a group of people who come to Christ. They get saved. They understood the grace of God in truth. They're bearing fruit. And Paul is thanking God, and his co-workers are thanking God because they hear of their genuine faith in Christ and this genuine love they have for the saints, this genuine hope that is laid up for them, and this genuine fruit that is being born by the Holy Spirit being in their life. Because they're willing to let God continue to change them through the Word of God. You see that? You see how cool that is? So this is a church that's kind of on the right track. Okay? But we know from looking at this letter and studying it that when Epaphras comes to Paul, he says, hey, the Colossians are doing awesome. Okay, I would not speak like Epaphras. I don't like to use awesome. Right? But he says, they are doing awesome. The Colossians are doing awesome. They're doing great. Look at this stuff. But they're under pressure. They're under pressure. They're happy Mother's Day. They are under cultural pressure. They are under pressure from the Old Covenant Jews in their midst, okay? They are under life pressures. And so he says, look, they're on the right track, but because of the pressures, they're tempted to go off track. Okay? They're being tempted to go off track. So what we see is a background is we see, although that this group of brothers and sisters, this church in Colossae, is on the right trajectory, they're growing, they're bearing fruit, but they are facing pressures that was getting them off track. Okay? And we heard about what those pressures are. We just talked about those a little bit. So I want you to see what has Paul and Epaphras been praying for them. Okay? Because he says in verse 9, just a few verses down within the letter, he says, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So you should have your Bibles turned to Colossians to see that. Right? This is the prayer. Okay? And so I'll put his prayer out in a little bit more detail here. Okay? So here's the prayer, verses 9 through 12. Okay? And if you, we're going to take a little bit of a look at this. And I want you to identify, the different things that Paul describes, the different traits that Paul describes of what is it look like to have a life walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. Okay? So look at this and see if you could pick out what are those traits. What are those traits? So you could get in your group, talk about it. Please do not have a large group. A small group is easier and more manageable, because then you get a large group and you'll have 3-4 people not talking. Right? So get in a group of like 3-4 maybe. All right? And just try to identify what are the traits that we're talking about here. Okay? What are the traits? Okay, so you got to actually read and figure out what does it mean? What is a picture of walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him? What does it look like? Obviously, it's probably right below it. So look at it. Talk about it. And give me what the traits are. Okay. I'm going to just ask if your group is ready, come up and write what those traits are, okay? If your group is ready, just send someone up and write it up here on the board.
Wait, one or all of them?
Yeah, just write all of them that your group came up with in your own words. Okay. Yep. Thank you, Lily. No, just write the four.
Four?
Yes.
Four, five,
whatever.
Five. You come up with. We have a lot.
Okay. Okay. Write what you got. Send somebody out.
That's me, workhorse. Bearing fruit in every good work.
Oh.
I don't know what you work.
I don't have enough markers, so. Yeah. Teach us. Here we go.
Huh?
Yeah.
He said
all right. Okay, write it big, Samuel. I know you like to write like nice and tiny, but we have plenty of whiteboard space here. There's an eraser right next to your foot.
Yeah.
All right, who else needs a marker? Okay, anybody else? From your group?
If there's duplicates, do you just write?
Yeah, just write what your group came up with. It's all good.
There's error right here. Let me move this back. What about increasing in knowledge of God?
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
What other whatever color you want.
Yes.
What was it? Bex needs help. Bex is struggling.
Oh, wait, never mind.
Oh, that. I heard that voice. That was my wife. I don't know my wife's voice enough. Okay, it's getting warm now.
Wait, everyone was writing four.
It's okay. Three, four, doesn't matter.
Four, we got five.
We got five.
If you got five, you're incorrect. That's okay. It doesn't matter. It don't matter. Fun. This is just for the purpose of public shaming. Don't worry about it. Woo woo. Woo woo. All right, cool. Okay, we on the right track? Wow, whoa, eight? Okay, extra credit. You guys are brown nosers, man. Okay, anybody else?
We're starting.
You guys have somebody coming up? Okay, you can choose what color you want.
You drop right bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, right bigger. Yeah, we don't need like perfect penmanship. You guys are all super Asian.
Just
like, just go ugly. See, the uglier you write it, the more we're like, we'll just give you credit.
Yeah, dare.
That's what I was going for.
Okay, so how many do you guys think, do you find in here in this little portion of passage right here? Okay, to walk, okay, one group says eight. So to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, what does that look like, right? To be walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing to Him. What do you guys find? How many? Okay, so one group said eight.
Five.
Okay, five. Five. Four. Yeah, maybe I didn't read it very clearly. I was working kind of fast. I came up with four. That's okay. I combine stuff. I don't know. Let's see what you guys came up with. Okay, what is this? There's like another eight. Okay, keep going, Joshua. That's what you do when you... All right, so let's look at what you guys are writing here, okay? So what do we see? Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and pleasing to Him. We see bearing fruit. Okay, if you guys, should we have class interaction like yeah or no? Yeah. Bearing fruit, we see bearing fruit in there, yeah. Knowing more about God, yeah. God's power is our strength, not self-reliant. You guys see that in there? Okay. Enduring with joy. Okay. Part of God's people. To share the inheritance of the saints, yeah? And then qualified by God. Interesting. Okay, you right? Okay, how about this? Serving and doing good. Yeah? Knowing more about God. Yeah. Okay. Relying on God's strength. Patience with joy. Thankfulness. Okay, that's correct too. Okay, how about this one? Fruitful works. Okay, yeah, we see that. Joyful thanks. Yeah, we see patience. Spiritual wisdom. Okay. How about grateful and thankful? Being a grateful and thankful people. More Christ-like. Yeah. Having knowledge and living it out. Good, right? All right, do we see joyful suffering in here?
No.
Okay. No, we don't see joyful. Joyful suffering. Do we see joyful suffering in there? Where? Yeah, see, that's a different way to put it, right? Joyful suffering. Good. Are we people who bear fruit? Okay, walking in a manner. Faith in action. Growing. Okay. Knowing more, studying the Bible. Yeah, does it say that? Increasing in faith. Being grateful, being joyful, being patient, yeah? How about showing godly characteristics in everything we do? Okay, so that's kind of that fruit. That's another way of saying fruit. Learning more about God's will, okay? Being supported and strengthened by God, yeah? Patiently joyful, giving thanks, joy giving thanks. Joyfully giving thanks, right? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what's really cool is I only got like four, but whatever. It would be five because there's patience with joy. I didn't really go into like the thoughtfulness that you guys did. Plus, a lot of times I'm just cramming this stuff in as fast as I can. so that I could have family night with my kids on Friday, right? I'm just like just making sure I get it done, throwing up pictures, trying to make it like decently looking. So I got 4 or 5. It doesn't really matter. But scholars agree with me. All right, but we see really these qualities of okay, I use more biblical language, man. I didn't want you to do that. So walking in a manner worthy of God, and what pleases God is a life that's bearing fruit, a life that's doing good. There's fruitfulness in your life, right? What I didn't notice, even though I tried to lead you, is the T word, right? Or the C word. A life that is what? Transforming. A life that is changing. Because that is the fruitfulness. You're bearing fruit. When we use Savi's example earlier, right? It's that they're seeing things in her life that they did not see before. They're seeing a fruit that comes from the Spirit of God in her. As she's listening to the Word of God, the Spirit is helping her to receive that and to embrace it and say, yes, I want to. Someone put up here somewhere like, did anybody put obedience or something? Yeah, somewhere.
I wanted to put obedience.
Okay, kind of like an obedience, right? Obedience is not a word that we like to use a lot, though, because it's like, ooh, so Old Testament-ish, you know? But it's all over the Bible, right? Obedience. Because I see God's word and the Spirit convicts me, shows me that it's the truth of God. It's God's will. That's God's way for me. I want to abide in that. I want to follow that because I love God, right? And you love God and the Holy Spirit. It's not I'm trying to be more patient. It's not I'm trying to be more loving. I'm trying to be more gentle, because we could fake it. But that phrase, fake it till you make it, does not work. In Christian life, we don't fake it. Because after a while, I mean, we're all kind of adults in here, even you 11th graders, you can tell, you know, when someone's faking it, when it's not coming from the Spirit, it's a manufactured, it's a weekend show is what I call it sometimes, you know what I'm saying? It's when we're together, I kind of trying to act real good. But I'm trying to act real good. That's not a God changing me good. You see what I'm saying? But when people are willing, when people actually see real life change, right, then you know that's coming from the Spirit. When you're not so intentionally just saying, I need to be like this, like for me, okay? My thing is gentleness. Like that is one fruit that I've always just struggled with. I'm just not a gentle person. Even this morning, Abby was talking to me about something, or Bethany, I forgot who, and I was just answering in a very loud voice. You know, I'm like making eggs and coffee, and it's Mother's Day, and I'm like, come on, let's get it going. And she asked me what, something, I forgot, do you remember? Anyways, I was responding like, yes, it is the color blue, it is the color blue, okay, it's the color blue. And then everyone's like, are you mad, Dad? I'm like, not at all, I'm so happy. And then Becky's like, it sounds like you're mad at something. I'm like, I'm not mad at anything. I'm sorry, my voice just carries. Lumberjack voice. I don't know. But it came across not gentle. I could have faked it, you know, when I write on my hand and like, be gentle, remember, tie a little string around your finger. Like, who really does that? Reminder, like, every time you see this here, BG, be gentle, Alex. And I could have been making eggs and be like, oh. It is the color blue. I'm gentle. Because that's me. That's me forcing that out. It's different when we're allowing the Spirit to produce that fruit. You guys understand? You guys with me? Right? So there is an important aspect of spiritual, Spirit-born fruit. There is an aspect of growing in the knowledge of God. We see that, right? Like, we do want to grow in the knowledge of His Word. Some people said His will. Some people just said knowing more about God. Specifically here, it's like studying the Bible to know more about God. There is an important place of God, okay? It's time to get up, Kevin. All right. All right? It is important. Hey, discipline, huh? What's up, buddy? Right? Right? And it is important, the Word of God. We never want to neglect the Word of God, okay? The The Word of God is how we know God's heart for us. It's not just, ooh, the Spirit just kind of led me to do this. No, it's we know what God wants us to do through His Word. So we could abide in the Word, but the Spirit helps us to do that. So we do want to study the Bible and know more about God. We want to be empowered by God. I like what one group wrote. Where was that? Like, not self-reliant, right? So we are very Asian in that sense. We're very self-sufficient. We are a very self-depending people. And that really goes against the grain of biblical picture of like spirit dependence, right? We've talked about this before. I think it's very hard. It's a very challenging concept to white knuckle ourselves through life. And when you're lacking in godliness, whether it is anything, when something happens in your life and you got to really get something done, we've trained ourselves to basically grit our teeth, don't we? And just say, I could get through this. I'm going to power through, right? A bunch of guys, brothers that were at church, I think when I was like college, I don't know when it was, but we had this phrase where we're like, be a man. Be a man. Suck it up, dude. Be a man. Suck it up. Be a man. And we just had this phrase among all these brothers at church, okay? Whenever we saw weakness in someone, we're like, suck it up, man. Be a man. You're so weak. Suck it up. Be a man. This phrase. And then it become a joke. It become like when you get hurt on the basketball court, you're like, suck it up, man. Be a man. And you're like, okay, fine. I just broke my ankle, but it's cool. I'll play through it. Play through it, man. Play through the pain. You could do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. But that's very contrary, right, to what is a life that is in a manner worthy of the Lord. What pleases God is not a mentality of you can do it, you can do it, which means I can do it, I can do it. Be a man, suck it up, get through it. Right? It is a God. I think I'm able to do it as a person, but I need to depend on you. God, I know I have capabilities you've given to me, but how do I rely on your strength and your... I think this one is really tricky. This one's kind of a tricky deal here, right? You guys with me, right? We're taught to perform. We're taught to do it. We're teaching my children right now. CJ created his own award system for him, reward system for himself. I don't even know why he does this. It's crazy. No one ever told him to, but he starts keeping a post-it in his bathroom of every time he flushes a toilet, right? So he gives himself a good job, boy. You flushed the toilet today, right? And so we see this piece of paper and we're like, what the heck? He's like, yeah, I give myself credit every time I flush a toilet. We're like, good job, dude. And then mommy is, you know, Mother's Day. You know, like mom. Like mom's like, hey, buddy, how about this? If you gave yourself a reward system, if you flush your toilet every 20 times, you get a little reward. He's like, yeah, he has a reward system. So he's training himself. I can do it. I can do it. I can flush the toilet. Because believe it or not, there's many men who do not flush the toilet. Amen? Okay. Right.
No,
no amen. Yeah, no amen to that. But you see it, and it's like a problem. I like that. Corbin's like, you can do it, boy. You can do it. You can flush it. You can be a man who flushes a toilet. Okay? Very quickly, Abby then gets on her own little... she's like, well, I want a reward system too. So her habit, it's just who she is she's very messy. Okay, so her room, you know, Bethany's very OCD and super clean and everything's like perfection. And then so like you can see like literally the divide of their room. Like this side, every piece of stone is like placed in a certain position. And then on this side of the room, it's like explosion. Like this clothing, toy, you know, it's dolls, blankets. Abby will have an idea one night to say, I want to sleep on top of my jacket. So I'm going to start throwing jackets on top of the bed. And then the jackets never leave when she doesn't want to. They're just kind of pushed. It's just like, it's an explosion. It's like one, like two people, you definitely see it. So she's like, she's hearing from us. I need to get cleaner. I need to get cleaner. So she's like, I'm going to get a reward. You guys are going to give me a reward when I clean my room 20 times. And we're like, fine, you can do it. Wow, isn't that great? Christian parents, the pastor parents, teaching their children to be self-reliant. You can do it, Abby. When you become a room cleaner and you do it on your own strength, oh yeah, you will get a reward. Right? That's what we're doing. I think we struggle with. I think we all have that. When was the last time you were trying to do something and you actually told God, God, I want to rely on you for this. And you might not even know how to start relying on God, but you can say, God, I want to learn to rely on you in this. You guys with me? Right? Because that is the life that pleases God. Okay? That's the life that pleases God. All right? And then and that one, I combined it. I said four because it kind of links together, right? It's really not being strengthened with all power. If you guys really read correctly, it says, I'm just kidding. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the purpose of endurance and patience with joy. So that's why I kind of put it all in one. You could kind of split up. That's cool. But we are living this Holy Spirit-empowered life. So that we can endure, okay? So that we can have a joyful patience, right? Remember, fruit of the Spirit are byproducts. I don't think it's bad, okay? Don't ever hear from me that it's bad to pray for fruit of the Spirit or to work on it, okay? But I believe that the fruit of the Spirit, and I believe, okay, I'm going to just throw this out there, and I don't know if it's going to go on recording. Okay, it's going to go on recording, but I don't think those things, they're only nine for the Spirit. You guys with me? I believe that that was what came up as Paul was Spirit-inspired to write the that letter, okay? But there's more than nine. And the Spirit's fruit is a byproduct of being empowered and living by His strength. You see, this is so different. This is so different than what I have thought, or maybe I was taught and I'm not sure, or like work on the fruit of the Spirit, or even in children worship classes, you know, where I grew up in, where it's like these concepts of like, be patient, be kind, be loving, have self-control, because this is what a Christian does. You guys with me? Versus saying, live by the Spirit. Because in Galatians, that's what it talks about. Live by the Spirit. Walk in step with the Spirit. When you live with God, when you are empowered by God, when you are a God lover, when your relationship with God is solid, it's in step, you're surrendering yourself to Him, you are loving Him, you are accepting His love, and you are tight with God. Okay, let's just put it that way. When you're tight with God, this stuff, it is a byproduct. Okay, you guys with me? It's a byproduct. It comes out of your walk with Him. It's not like all day you're like, you know, I need to be more gentle. Be gentle, Alex. You're the most ungentle. Is that the right word? Is it ingentle? Ungentle? Non-gentle? What is it? What is the correct word? You lack so much, huh? Huh? Well, rough. You're the roughest man. You know, it's Mother's Day, man. I'm just making coffee and eggs. Like, I don't know why I have to raise my voice. There's no need for that. But I can't fix myself, guys. I can't fix myself. I can't fix myself. How do I get to a place where God's doing that in me? And then I'm surrendering myself to Him to let Him do that. Because I've been trying to fix myself for a long time, and if you figured out a way to fix yourself, let me know, because I don't have the book for that. Right? We want a byproduct of loving God and walking with God. And I've come to accept that, not in a way that, like, I don't care, but in a way that I've come to accept, man, I need help. Like, I can't change in this. I need to surrender this area and be conscious and have discipline, but I need to allow God to do that change. I need to find out what the root of the issues are. I need to wrestle through that with God. I need to walk with God and let Him change me. You guys with me? Yeah? Okay. Okay. Noelle agrees with me. Good. All right. What else do we see? Yeah, we see someone that's thankful, someone with gratitude to God who's qualified us, right, to be a part of the body, to be a part of God's people. Okay, so let me ask you guys a question, right? Boy, we had a whole Bible study, so I have a whole Bible study on this. So I'm going to ask you, this is chapter 3. I guess we'll go through that next week. We won't do Jeremiah. But I have a question to ask you, right? Which of these traits, and don't do it just because I spent time on one more than the other. I'm not looking for my answer. I'm asking you, which of these traits do you think in general brothers and sisters need to work on today in our church? Okay, this is just your own read. Okay, what do you think we need to work on in our church and why? All right, so which of these things do you feel, man, we just got to like work on that more? That's an area we got to explore more. We got to dig deeper into. And in essence, what you're also saying is like what I need to work on more too. But you don't have to say me. You can just say, brother and sister, you need to work on this. Because it's a safety play right there, right? It's a safe play. Brothers and sisters need to work on this. That's what I feel in general. And here's a reason why. Okay? Don't be blaming on the church. Don't be blame shifting. Churches are never perfect. There's no perfect church out there. Okay? Because you're there. Okay? You've ruined it. This church was perfect before you came. Okay? And then you came and you mess it all up. Okay? So every church you go to is going to be imperfect, right? So don't blame it on the church, but just say, yeah, just kind of sense. I feel that we need to work on this one a little bit more than the others, and this is the reason why. Okay, talk about that in your group for about 5 minutes. Okay, what do you guys think? Let's go around. What does this group say?
For ourselves or the church?
Okay, this group says, yeah, if you're talking about for yourself, that's fine too. They're talking about themselves. Transparent.
I would say for me, it's like the being supported, strengthened by God.
Okay.
Because, I don't know, I feel like whenever, especially things that like I care about a lot, I try to like work or improve myself in order to be the very best at that thing.
Right.
And I don't think that's like the attitude that like really the right attitude that God desires for
right,
me.
Right.
And I guess that's just something I'm working on.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's tricky. How do you do that? Right? Okay, good. All right, next group.
We say kind of like growing in the knowledge of God.
Okay, growing in knowledge of God, okay.
For us, like, I guess the more that you know about God, the more that you understand Him.
Okay.
I feel that that we're able to live out the life that God wants us to
okay.
live out
yeah.
if we know and understand.
Okay, all right, good. How about the group in the back?
We've said, being able to trust in God more.
Mm-hmm.
I think it typically is like the last resort that you go to God.
Right, right.
It's like trying to actually have the priority as being the first thing that you do.
Right, but how do you do that, right? Because it's usually when everything gets screwed up, right? When you're like really at that point of like, I'm at the rock bottom. And we go, okay, I think it's time to trust in God now. God, help. I made a mess, right? But how do you do that as a first resort? Okay, good. How about group in the back?
I'm working on knowledge of God.
Okay.
I feel like I'm, you know, close to where I should be.
Okay, all right. Good.
I can't speak for the
group. Yeah, yeah, that's okay. That's all right. That's okay. Yeah, that's fair. Okay. How about this group here? In the back table here.
Bad things,
yeah.
As like, you know, advances are coming up, you know, I find myself spending more time like, you know, infotainment, like finding out things like, oh, which is the best price, this is everything, Netflix, everything. It's like just, you know, taking away from, you know, whether spending time with the Word of God, and so then like the fruit, all that time, like when a farmer spends time, they spend a lot of time on their crop.
That's
like,
good. No,
all that time, I'm spending on everything else in this world.
Right.
You know, like, you know, whether it's makeup, hair, blah, blah, I mean, just everything.
Right.
This world just kind of always tugs.
Right. At me. Good, good, good. Right. Not that learning about hair, makeup is wrong, right?
Yeah.
It's, but when we can make it wrong for us, right? That's good. That's really good. How do you do hair and makeup? How do you do, or like Stephen said, or Preston, like, how do you do these things in God? Right? I think that's something that's hard to like link in, right? Like, I don't think God's against makeup. I think God might be into over idolatry of makeup. Right? Or you're on YouTube makeup videos all the time. But I think to do makeup or to cook or to learn a new dish or to work on a project, to learn an area to improve yourself, I don't think God's against that. I think, though, that how do we do that with the power that He supplies and to trust in Him and to worship Him through that, though, right? And don't just say that, right? Like, hey, I'm going to enjoy an evening with my family, we're going to go out ride bikes or whatever. Like, how do we do that in God? Right? How do I sit there and learn to do a better makeup job on my face? I don't know how girls describe that, right? How do I look more pretty without idolizing makeup, the process of makeup, where I have not made my value, my worth in my looks, right? So even as you do makeup, you could say, I don't know why I'm doing makeup here, but you know, if you're doing makeup, you're like, God, my mustache, let me highlight my mustache here. God, how do I not put my value in only my looks? But it's okay to do this, but right? As I'm getting better, Stephen, what's one thing that you're trying to improve, like on like studies or something like that? Usually that's what you say, but what?
Oh no, I just I guess a goal I have is like reading more.
Okay, reading more, right? Yeah, so hey, I'd like to read more, but God, how do I read more with your strength and your power and use what I'm reading to worship you with, right? You know, I think that's okay. So that reading or that process of reading more doesn't become your idol or become something more valuable to you than God. Right. Okay. Good. What else? Next group.
I said being patient with the Father.
Okay.
And I think for me, I was saying that because I think it's easy to forget like who God really is in my life.
Yeah.
My Creator, how He, you know, sent His only Son to die for me.
Yeah.
How that should really be like a really part of my identity.
Right.
And I think for me, like being thankful to Him would really put me in like the right place.
Yes.
Like, humble before Him, knowing that my life is His alone. And so I think that's something I personally need to work on and how
that's good. Yeah, thankfulness. No one's brought that up, right? But how does thankfulness like root our identity in Christ? Right, that's a big one. Good, good. All right. Next groups. Anybody want to share?
I think like Tim said, also knowledge. But on the other side, I think this is what I'm working on is like listening more and asking more questions. I think I fall into this trap. Like when someone is opening up to me, I assume that I understand where that person is coming from. And I might try to like speak to what I think he's going through, and then later on, like, well, that's not exactly
right.
Relevant, or that's not exactly what I was thinking, that's not exactly what I needed to hear.
That's good.
And I realized that I think a lot of people that have grown up in the church, they've heard a lot, they know a lot of knowledge, they just don't know where they are themselves or how they
sure, yes. Yeah.
Asking questions and giving them the space to talk,
yeah,
and helps them understand themselves better.
Yeah,
so
that's
they
great.
Actually apply what they know.
Okay, good, good. Yeah, how about even in this sense, like, not just listening to people, how about, like, listening to God? Right? How to, like, process all the knowledge I already have and, like, what am I missing? How come this is not leading to something different in me? Right? That's good. Good. All right, anything else here?
Can I add?
Sure.
That a lot of people,
ooh,
in this
hot
church has a lot of knowledge in it.
Okay. Okay.
If you're relying on yourself, like digging through all the information, you have to figure out how to present
sure.
the information.
Sure.
It can be very challenging.
Present the information. Okay, yeah, that goes to like kind of what Candace is talking about, right? Like, I'm thinking about so much of what I can do with God's word for others, right? But, I mean, see, what you mentioned is like the hardest job for a pastor even, right? I mean, before as a pastor, I struggled with this. Now as a pastor, I struggle even more because my goal is not to digest information about God's word and give it to you. My challenge always begins with the process of what is God telling me? Because if I can't figure that out, what I'm saying to you is empty. It's empty words. It's useless knowledge, to your point, right? If we pursue knowledge, but we're not asking God, so what is this doing for me? What do you want this to do in my life? Am I surrendering to let you do it? Because I'll tell you that you guys could probably learn more if my life maybe was more like Christ. You would learn, like someone said this to me, who is an older person, and said, you know, I've seen you grow up. You know, you're kind of a young punk. I've really seen you at your worst. It's hard for me to, like, embrace you as my elder pastor, but you know what I've been benefited from? I've been benefited from the change in your life. That's that phrase in American. What do we say? What do we say in American?
In American?
Action. In America. Actions speak what?
Louder
than words. Guys, listen. Knowledge of God is important. We cannot downplay that. But Lily's point is, it's about the change. It's about the change that takes place. People will learn more from your life, right, than how intellectual you are.
Oh, right. Not only that, though, but if, let's say you're sharing with somebody, you're not just sharing through your actions, right? You do have
yes.
words.
Yes.
But knowing what to say, when to say it, and you see, some people, when they share too little. Like, oh, just have faith and pray.
Yeah, right.
That doesn't help people.
Yes.
But in a certain situation, you need to share more. But you cannot share too much. Mm-hmm. You need to overwhelm it. So how to know what to share, when to share, how much to share, that can only come from God.
Yes, good, yes. And even what to share. Because some people do a lot of talking, and they're not sharing the right thing from God's word. Okay, good. Good discussion. You know what's fascinating, though, to this? You know what's fascinating? What does Paul do? I ended class last week with this. What does Paul do to help get these things going in their life? What does he do? It says in this verse, he's talking about this is what you guys need to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him. But here's how I'm going to help you guys do it.
Pray.
He's going to pray. And not ceasing to pray. Do you pray for someone else at the church? Do you even pray? Do you believe? I had a long conversation with someone last night. Do you even believe that prayer changes things? Because the reason why we don't pray is because we really sometimes don't believe it changes anything. So do you pray for anyone here? Like on a regular basis, do you pray for anyone? Hoping that they would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him. Okay? Or do you only pray about yourself? Or do you not even pray about yourself? Right? Okay, let's go to God. Father, we thank you again for today. Oh, Lord, we thank you for just the study of your word. It's so rich and good and powerful. But God, the power of your word comes with the power of the Spirit. That combination is what it has to do in our life. So I know that you spoke to, I don't know if everyone here, but I know you spoke to some of us really deeply in a certain area. And I ask that that continues to percolate and do something within us so that we are different today from the study of your word and the work of your Spirit from when we first came into this class. God, we want to walk out of here transformed and being in that process of continual transformation to be more and more rooted in you, knowing our love, love of the Father, and growing in your grace. God, we thank you and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.